Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Uncle Colin. He'll be back on Monday with the hottest of hot takes. Well, if you're listening to the iHeartRadio app or Fox Sports Radio, thanks so much. We got a great show for you. Jay Billis will join us next hour. Rick Bucher, the hour after that. Aaron Torres from Fox Sports Radio, a guy who, like me, is a draft Nick, a hoop head, will join me in 15 minutes to get his thoughts. The latest on Kawhi Leonard, kind of interesting, like little side nugget note. You won't believe who the potential guacamole is with the New England Patriots. That one's kind of interesting. And stop me if you heard this before, but a team in baseball who signed a guy to a ridiculous contract isn't performing as well as they thought they would perform. You guys heard that one before? No. And no, it's not the Angels. They're actually performing better than you thought they did before. The Doyers take 3 out of 4 from the Giants. All right, let's get to last night's NBA draft. You know, there are times in life when there's a fair trade. There are times in life where divorces are amicable. I didn't grow up child of divorce. My parents were married. It's 1968. My dad died 4.5 years ago. There was ups and downs. I'm sure there was some tough moments. There were some plates that were broken. I'll never forget, I got my parents 1 year for their anniversary. I got them a set of steak knives. And I had a great little note in there. Hey, a good knife might have ended this thing a long time ago, right? Like, that's a good note. I was kind of happy with myself. But I'm not a child of divorce, so it was always strange to me. Just always, my wife's family, they've been married, you know, her mom was a teenager when my mother-in-law, was married to my father-in-law. Right? They've been married ever since. It was a really amazing story if you're talking about Two couples combined married over 80 years. And they're both still alive and very healthy and kicking. So I always had this view of divorces, man, that's like the end of the world. Then I have friends that are like, yeah, you know, life goes on. Colin's a perfect example of that. I'm friends with Colin back with his first wife, Kim, great lady. And now Anne, great lady. You know, Anne already had kids. Colin already had kids. Now they have like the Brady Bunch. And it's just kind of eclectic mixture of it. Matter of fact, Colin sent me a video of his daughter bungee jumping in Africa. And I was like, no, thank you. But it's amazing. But I remember Olivia when he first moved to Connecticut. I'm going to say she was 3 years old or 4 years old. She was always mature then. Kind of same person now as she was then. But that's a perfect example. Like, they both moved across the country. They have found a way to make it work and go on with their lives and have successful lives. Like, sometimes it does. So I was watching what the Pelicans did with the Lakers picks. And remember, they still have Brandon Ingram. It wasn't just the number 4 pick. It was Brandon Ingram. It was Josh Hart. It was Lonzo Ball. Brandon Ingram has that compartmental syndrome, which apparently they think they fixed. The Lakers never loved Brandon Ingram. He was like the last of the Mohicans, the last guy selected during the Mitch Kupchak era. So he wasn't necessarily long for the Lakers. He was always part of trade bait, but he's a good player. He's a good player. He looks like he could be Durant. He feels like he could. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not. He doesn't shoot threes well. He's not as tall. He's not as good a rebounder. He's not as dynamic a player. He's just not. But he's a good asset to have, and he's a very good versatile defender. Josh Hart, they felt like they got a steal when they got him. They kind of soured on him a little bit. When they tried to start him last year, he wasn't necessarily good enough to be a starter on a playoff caliber team. Good character guy, got a little bit in his own feelings, you know, when things weren't going well for him. But like, look, Josh Hart's gonna be a pro for 12 years, 15 years. And then Lonzo Ball, who's kind of the prize of this thing. But Lonzo Ball, the thought is at best he would be the third best guard in his own draft class, right? The third best guard. And he hasn't been healthy for an entire season. And I do think that he'll be really, really good. But you got to give to get. And then people go, well, the draft picks is the perfect example of how this thing could end amicably. I think David Griffin did an amazing job. Amazing job. Obviously, he's got picks upon picks to come from the Lakers. But remember, like, the Zion Williamson is, in fact, a Halley's Comet. He's a Halley's Comet. He's a once-in-a-generation type player. It doesn't mean that he'll be as good as LeBron James, who is another once-in-a-generation type player. I'm just saying 6 foot five and a half dudes that can jump to the moon, defend every position, have no ego, are left-handed, you know, like all the different things, have this play with this big smile on their face, are tough, can score the low post. They don't come along very often. And, of course, they traded out of the fourth spot and drafted Jackson Hayes, who I love. Like, Jackson Hayes is like a JV player until like his junior year in high school, and then didn't start till his senior year in high school. And then, you know, he grew, he blossomed, and I think eventually he's got a chance to be a really good player. They traded out of the 10 pick and got Nikhil Alexander Walker, who's from Virginia Tech, who's very talented. And then they got a kid from Brazil who none of you have ever seen play, so I'm not going to bore you with it. The point is that Hayes, Alexander Walker, and Silva, it's a crapshoot. And what David Griffin is doing is playing the numbers game. It's the same thing that college football programs do. One superstar, five-star does not your program make. Right? You get 24 stars or, you know, 10 four-stars and 12 three-stars. And the volume of your recruiting class, you develop, you nurture, and you put them in the right spot, and you find out who's going to become. And by the way, all of these future draft picks, you do know the draft is not getting older, it's getting younger. Most people have concluded, based upon what Adam Silver has said, that the one and done will go away and you'll be able to go straight out of high school, which means instead of drafting 19-year-old kids who aren't ready to play after playing a year in college, you're going to draft 18-year-old kids who aren't ready to play and haven't even gone to college yet. They've never been in a defensive stance. Right? They don't understand the first two rules of defense: stop the ball and guard the bucket, right? Like all of these things, I'm overdoing it a little bit. But look, my dad was a college coach. I played for a great high school coach and is now a great junior college coach. I got to Notre Dame and I felt like I had never played basketball before. It's just a different level. Forget the athlete. It's the attention to detail and the coaching and things that you have to learn. But I bring it up because, look, the Pelicans are never going to be able to get free agents. They're just not. You know, one of the guys they traded away was Solomon Hill. That's to move picks to get rid of that fourth pick and get the eighth pick and the tenth pick, but the tenth pick they end up moving out of that. They got rid of the Solomon Hill contract. And Solomon Hill was a guy who was with the Indiana Pacers, and they had to overpay in order to get him to come to New Orleans, and then he got hurt before he ever even played a game there, and it's a terrible, terrible contract. But why do you have to overpay to get Solomon Hill? Because you're in New Orleans. The only chance they have of being successful is to trade for a bad contract, like, you know, like the Drew Holiday deal, or a guy who, you know, when front offices change, or to draft a guy. And the only way they can be successful drafting isn't, you can't pin your hopes on one draft pick. You got to do it with volume. Volume, 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 volume. Then you look at the Lakers. Do I think they overpaid? Probably. But the Lakers, they don't have to operate the same way the Pelicans do, or the Thunder do, or the Timberwolves do. Like, they don't have to, the Jazz do. They don't have to trade for or draft their best players. In theory, and really in practice, the Lakers have always been able to get the best players to come to Los Angeles. Right? Happened with Kareem. Happened with Shaq. I mean, frankly, it happened with Dwight Howard and late with Steve Nash, and those things didn't work. I mean, but it did, in fact, happen. Happened with LeBron, and now it's happened with Anthony Davis. I know they had to trade for Anthony Davis, but he wanted to be there. And so the point is that I look and I was like, all right, so what did they really give up? I like Lonzo Ball. But if it's Lonzo Ball or Anthony Davis, are we having this? If it's Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram for Anthony Davis, we're not having this conversation, right? No one thinks those three players, who are good players and are going to be NBA players. And you know what? Lonzo's got unique skills, man. He's a tremendous defender. He can rebound. He can really pass. He's got to learn how to shoot, and he's got to stay healthy. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's got to figure out a way to have a better killer instinct. He gives up the ball way too quick. All that said, would you have freaked out if it was those three players for Anthony Davis? Who would you have said got the better end of the deal? You'd say the Lakers, right? You'd say, oh, Lakers. They kicked David Griffin's ass six ways and sideways, right? And while you'd say, well, why didn't they trade the fourth pick? Because that fourth pick, if you draft a first rounder, he goes on your salary cap. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's not going to help you win this year or next year or even the year after that. So now that you see Jackson Hayes and Nikhil Alexander Walker and Marcos Luzada Silva, like, do you still think that the Pelicans won the trade? No. When I was a kid, I used to trade every day at lunch. My mom would make brown Schweiger and mustard sandwiches, and for some reason, I liked them. And to balance it, I would get a couple of Oreos, right? Maybe some Chips Ahoy. And look, Oreo is the greatest cookie. Double stuff is a waste of time. It's the perfect example of more is not always more. Less is more. But I used to trade that for a chalupa or taco stack, one of the hot lunches that you could get. And now I was eating like a king. And the kid that had the taco or the taco snack, that traded me for my Chips Ahoy or my double stuff or my Oreos, that kid got something that he couldn't get elsewhere. Meanwhile, I still had the Oreos at home. I just ate them for lunch. It was a fair trade. And sometimes, though, divorces, feel like it's the end of the earth and one side got over on the other. The truth is that, yeah, maybe the wife got screwed in the divorce, but she got rid of him and she's going to have another husband, another dude, and a better life. And the kids are happier because the parents aren't arguing, right? There's no uncomfortable. Sometimes divorces are amicable. Sometimes trades are fair, even in the NBA. Remember the Paul George trade? Remember the Paul George trade? Is Oklahoma City better because of it? Yeah. Is Indiana better because of it? Yeah. I mean, like, you couldn't have seen Victor Oladipo getting hurt, but they love Victor Oladipo. He's an all-star. They like their team. And Oklahoma City likes Paul George and got to hold on to him. Guess what? It's actually a trade that benefited both teams. Sometimes divorces benefit both people. Sometimes I benefited from having a chalupa and Jimmy benefited from having double stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This from Adrian Wojnarowski. No, it's not somebody who's going to be, what are they focusing on, right? That was his way of tipping picks last night. My wife was, she was all over me. She's like, are you watching the draft or looking at your phone? I was like, both. Both. She's like, you're not a gecko. Am I? Am I? Like, ah, I can know what's going to happen based upon my friends in the league that are texting me and Woj who's texting me. So I will do the self-pat on the unfortunate fall from grace for Bowl, 7'3". Had a cup of coffee at Oregon before breaking his foot earlier this year, and I was tipped off by a couple of different guys. One GM texted me and said, I said, I actually said, who are you guys looking at? And he's like, I'll tell you who we're not looking at. I said, Bowl is sliding. And I said, why? And he said, you know why. I said, yeah, there's some off-the-court stuff. And is it the foot or the fact that he doesn't bend his knees when he plays basketball? He's like, a little bit of both. And confirmed with it. Some people said they had no medical issues. It was more off-the-court stuff. Some said it was medical stuff. But there's enough there where everybody's like, yeah, no. And honestly, like, is the human body supposed to be 7'3" playing NBA basketball running up and down? It is fascinating how the league has changed, right? If you go back 10 years ago, right, Hashim Thabeet went number 2 overall? That wasn't a mistake or anything, was it? But you used to be big. You know, Bruno Fernando would be a top 10 pick. Top 10 pick. Look, there are some things in life that we discuss we really don't know much about. Right? Like, have you ever had a legit conversation with your investment guy over exactly what he's doing with your portfolio? Anybody ever had this? Well, I got some ETFs and, you know, we got some low interest stuff and we get to, I'm like, are we making more money than are we a little bit ahead of the market curve? Yes. Good. Am I paying less in taxes based upon the money that I'm making than I should? Yes. Okay, keep doing that. I got no idea how it works. And then what I do is send me what I'm all invested in. And then I send it to a buddy of mine who does it for a living. And I was like, does this look reasonable? Yes, this is all good stuff you're in. I'd move this to that. And then I reword it. And I'm like, here's what I'd like to do. I got no idea how it works. It's like you pop open the hood and you're like, I got nothing. I know how to change the oil. I can change an air filter. I can check the oil. But like if a belt is bad, like spark plug, good luck. Good luck. That's how I feel about Kawhi Leonard. Right? Like we all feel like we know. You know, like yeah, it feels like maybe he stays in Toronto or he goes to the Clippers. This is from Adrian Wojnarowski. Kawhi Leonard will meet with the 76ers now, in addition to the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Nets. We have no clue. No one has any sort of clue. Like, we think it's the Clippers because his uncle apparently told the Spurs he wanted to end up in L.A. He's from Southern California, and the Clippers were walking around telling everybody, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But, like, do they really know? Well, are we all just nodding our head like lemmings going like, yeah, that sounds really, really good. Really good. Well, it's like fixing the NCAA. Everyone said, well, we need to fix the NCAA. Well, the NCAA is just a governing body made up of the member schools, and they all have their own things that are important to them. And you got to take into account the fact you have tax-free status and you want to remain as such. In addition to the fact that you have to have Title IX, so any opportunity that's given to a male athlete, you got to give to a female athlete. Like, we all look at it linear, and we're all like, well, you made money, and the players didn't get it. Like, no, you're getting less money from the state than you've ever gotten for college athletics. When people donate to college athletics and to universities, they don't get a tax write-off anymore, thanks to your boy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Oh, I didn't think of that. No, you didn't, because you looked at it linearly. You're like, all right, problem, let's solve it. Like, there's so many other things you have no idea about. No idea about. which is the same thing with Kawhi Leonard. We don't know how much his girlfriend and baby play a factor into it. We don't know if he cares about the Clippers or if he wants to be in a big market like New York or if he likes the idea of staying in Toronto. We have no idea. So we react to the news. 76ers, really? That doesn't seem to fit. Or maybe it does.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, Colin often talks about how a quarterback is a position of leadership, right? And there is that, they can all throw it, they can all spin it, but it's how do you lead? How do you, in fact, lead? Jay Cutler's the perfect example. I've shared this with people before. But when he was in Chicago at the end of his run with the Bears, they actually took his locker out of the locker room because other guys disliked him so much. And everybody knows Jay Cutler can throw a football. Like, Jay Cutler can spin it like it's nobody's business. Yogi Berra, what did he say? That baseball is 50% physical, 75% mental, right? Which is like sports, especially positions of leadership, it is, 50% physical and 75% leadership. We're about to hit free agency bonanza. And though it doesn't appear to be as much fun as we thought it would be, it's still going to be wild. There's still going to be guys that get contracts like, what? Huh? How much? And when you look at it, you sit there and go, all right, what do you do if you're the Brooklyn Nets? So the Brooklyn Nets, they honestly and truthfully believe that their culture is so good. Remember, it's established they hired Sean Marks, who comes in from San Antonio, played at Cal, Aussie, great way about him. Now, here's a guy who understands what they've done in San Antonio. Let's kind of create that same thing. And he made chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. He inherited an absolute abject disaster. And then early on, they took on bad contracts. And you're like, what are they doing? Hired Kenny Atkinson, and man, it kind of came together this year. And so the thought is, if you have the culture already established, you can now bring in a star, kind of like what the Clippers are doing. Bring in a star, they'll absorb the culture. So the Lakers will reportedly meet with D'Angelo Russell, which I'll get to him in a second. The Nets are reportedly worried about only signing Kyrie Irving to a max contract without another star like Kevin Durant to pair with him. Like, yeah, we heard about Kyrie and the Kyrie thing when he's the guy, and we're not that big a fan of the Kyrie thing. I'll defend Kyrie from this argument. Right? From this argument. Do I think Kyrie Irving is a leader? I don't. I don't think Kyrie knows exactly who he is. I think he knows what he wants to be. I'm not sure he knows exactly how to get there. Right? It's like, you ever had that dream destination that you want to, man, I really want a vacation in Croatia. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get the time to get away? Where are you going to stay? Like, I have no idea. I just know that at some point in the very near future, I want a vacation in Croatia. It looks gorgeous. And because it hasn't been, the destination for other people until recently, kind of doesn't sound crazy expensive. Weather's nice. People are nice. I might be able to get away with speaking English. Right? How do you get there? No idea. I'm sure I could fly to New York and then from New York fly to Croatia, but that sounds expensive. And then stopping in Europe sounds really, really long. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Get that much time off work. But at some point in time, I want to do it. That's Kyrie Irving with becoming a superstar. I made a movie and people like me, but for whatever reason, I'm not viewed as one of the top 10 players in the NBA. I'm just not. Now, I'll give Kyrie the pass from this perspective. It's not just Kyrie that led to the downfall of the Celtics. It's not. I shared a story about Kyrie and one of the questions he asked of Brad Stevens earlier this year, and Twitter took it, and it's become pretty funny, right? Because he walked in one day in the film and asked Brad Stevens, what do you think the word government means? I mean, look, the other example that was given me from Boston people is go back and watch the series against the Bucks. How many times he switched off and he's guarding Giannis. And, like, if it looked weird to you, it looked weird to everybody on the Celtics bench or in the Celtics brass. It's, in fact, what Terry Rozier was talking about. Their whole defensive game plan was a lot like the Warriors and how they hide Steph Curry. They wanted to hide Kyrie Irving. Some of it because he's not a very good defender. Some of it because you want to rest him as well at defense, because on offense, that's where he can lead the team. And you go back and watch, and there's some instances where all of a sudden Giannis is being guarded by Kyrie Irving. Man up, spread court. Like, no, that's not what we want. But it's because Kyrie's ego was in the way. Doesn't know who he is. But I'll give him this bit of a pass. You know, look, could you have seen the fact that when his knee was bothering him, they'd take out the metal and then they'd find out the screws in his knee, one of them was infected? Who saw that coming? Could you have seen Gordon Hayward break his leg in half? Who could have seen that coming? Who could have seen them advancing in the playoffs to the Eastern Conference Finals without either? And because they had had a pre-established culture before he got there, and because Brad Stevens is beloved by star players, including LeBron James, and earned the respect of LeBron and others in the NBA, and because they had succeeded on some level without him, got to a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without their two highest-paid stars. When he returned, he wasn't just fighting over the, is it conch or conch? Did we establish what that is? Lord of the Flies? You know, whoever has the conch or conch actually was in control of all the other boys. He wasn't just fighting over the conch, whatever. Like, he's fighting against the, hey, we were better without you. And without Gordon. And then he's also dealing with the, they're trying to play Gordon Hayward too much because they paid him a bunch of money and they were trying to have him ready for the playoffs and he wasn't good enough to be getting the minutes, which cuts down on everybody else's minutes and cuts down on their shots, which cuts down on their points, and they are ticked. That's not all. That's not on Kyrie Irving. That's on bad luck, on bad management, on coaches that are unable to kind of share the message of why and what exactly they're doing. But let's be honest. If you're the Brooklyn Nets, aren't you just a little bit cautious of the reputation that he has? A little bit? Aren't you just sitting there going like, wait, we got a good thing going here. We got a good thing going here. Yeah, maybe we're a player away from competing for a championship or at least putting ourselves in that discussion. And if Toronto loses Kawhi, like, man, that steps us up. And we add somebody, they lose somebody. But, yeah, they should rightfully be concerned. Because he came across like an a-hole all year long. And when you come across that way enough, your reputation becomes established, it's really hard to climb out of. The same goes for D'Angelo Russell. Like, wait, the Lakers are going to meet with him? The previous coaching staff told somebody close to me that he was their least favorite Laker they had ever been around. And the guys that I was talking to had been around the Lakers a long time. He was a combination of being entitled and not being nearly as good as he thought, plus he wanted to be a leader, a lot like Kyrie, but he was a hangout guy, like to go out at night and do the Hollywood thing. And then he would do the worst thing, which is like bring the other guys with him. So none of them got their work done. All of them were hangout guys. And yeah, he made the All-Star team as a replacement. And he did absorb the culture of Brooklyn. But wouldn't there be a buyer beware if Brooklyn doesn't offer him a big contract and they just had unforeseen success and he was their best scorer? Like, wouldn't that tell you all you need to know about how Brooklyn feels about him? Are we really going to do this again? We're going to like, no, D'Angelo's different. And I do think that he's different. I do think that he's matured some. But he is a volume guy. You know, there's a reason that they tied their ship to Spencer Dinwiddie instead of him. And a lot like the Celtics, they don't want to lose Kyrie, but they're not all that bummed that he's gone. The Nets don't want to lose D'Angelo, but they're not going to be all that bummed that he's gone. Shouldn't that tell you something if you're other teams? Well, tell me something. I have yet to see a leopard change his spots. On the other hand, should be pointed out that adult leopards do have a little bit different coat than baby leopards have, right? Is that fair? Well, like baby animals, they don't change, their markings don't change, but the hair or the fur does get, you know, more coarse, more worn in. That's the question for D'Angelo, and that's the question for Kyrie. Can Kyrie and D'Angelo process all the things that people have said about them throughout their career and use that to energize them to becoming better teammates, better leaders? If they can, yeah, not everybody is born a leader and you can't improve in your leadership and your maturation process. Like, that's reasonable. On the other hand, they both have their defaults, right? Reset to default. And both guys, when reset to default are, you guys just stand there, I'll go do it myself. And I don't know how it fits into the culture of the other two teams. Jay Billis joins the show next. He was the first one to tell me, Zion, we had dinner last summer, and he said, have you seen Zion play in person? I said, nope. Seen him on YouTube. I didn't go to that matchup with LaMelo Ball. He's like, you're going to love him. And then mid-season, early in the season, he started calling him a phenomenon. And I thought it was a little much. And it turns out he's right. What are reasonable expectations immediately for Zion Williamson? And who's Jay think did the best last night? We'll ask him.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is the Herd, the man you heard or saw breaking down all the picks last night on ESPN. Is their lead college basketball analyst. He's Jay Billis. He's kind enough to spend some time with us here on Fox Sports Radio. You've been doing this for a long time. I remember 2003. I was doing the radio side in 2003. And I remember when, you know, the day before they have all those press conferences and Dwayne Wade came in and he had a great smile and a great presence. And Carmelo Anthony had good control of the room. And Chris Bosh was a little bit more reserved but quiet. And then LeBron walked in and you're like, that's different than any other kid I've ever talked or thought about. Is Zion the same in terms of that type of presence that he has in a room? Forget about what happens when he takes the basketball floor.
Yeah, that's a good question. LeBron was different from anything I've ever seen, especially considering he was a high school player. And even though Zion's probably about the same age as LeBron was coming out of high school, LeBron had a long time of hype. And, you know, like when he played at the ABCD camp against Lenny Cook and all that stuff in Teaneck, and it had been going on for a long time. So the draft was kind of the culmination of all that. I would say LeBron took up more space in the room even than Zion did, but I've never seen anything, you know, I don't know if you agree or not, but I've never seen anything like Zion on a basketball court. I know, like, I don't think he's the best player I've ever seen, but I've never seen anybody with that combination of all the things we've talked about all year long. It's really kind of hard to take your eyes off him. And, you know, I was joking about it, but it really is kind of true that, you know, our ratings, basketball ratings were up this last year in large measure because of Zion. It wasn't because we had really good promos all of a sudden. People saw it, and they wanted to see more of it. And that's really the ultimate test for a player.
Yeah, I remember I saw you early in the year, and you said he's a phenomenon. And I thought that was for you. Like, you're not a hot take, big statement sort of guy. Like, you're just very matter of fact about it. And you were right. It was a phenomenon. I did the Louisville game on radio, and I watched people gather around when he's just coming out to warm up. And I'm like, this is, I get that it's dunking, but it's more just people just want to see. I guess the biggest fear is the weight and, you know, like the shoe that exploded against Carolina, that embodies the torque that he's putting on his knees, his ankles, his hips, his back every time he plants. Is that your biggest concern?
Well, I think it is with any player that you think is kind of a sure thing on skill level and ability and all that stuff, that you're going, okay, well, the only thing that really get in their way is injury. I'm not worried so much about you know, his size and the shoe thing, because, you know, it's funny, when the shoe thing happened and I immediately during the game, I happened to be doing that game, I was saying, well, I've never seen anything like that before. And then I got bombarded on social media after the game with people saying, well, it happened here. Manu Ginobili did it. And I'm like, okay, well, if those guys did it, then it can't be just that Zion's the only shoe breaker on the planet. So, you know, you don't want to overreact to that stuff. And, you know, all these teams have great medical staffs, and I'm sure if anybody really was worried about that, they'd flag it. And I kind of harken back a little bit to 07 when, and obviously the game was different back then. So you know, I don't think we look at it the same way now. But when Greg Oden was the number one pick, you know, people look back on that now that somehow the Trailblazers were a bunch of crazy people. But, you know, I don't remember anybody, any medical staff saying that, hey, stay away from Greg Oden because he's an injury problem. I don't recall that. If it did happen, everybody kept it a profound secret.
You mentioned Greg Oden. Bruno Fernando goes in the second round. I mean, we see some that, like, the league has changed so remarkably. Like, I think Bol Bol, some of it was injury, some of it was other stuff, but, like, during the time in which you've done this, how remarkable is the 180 the league has done in that, basically, you know, I think Zion's a 6'6", 6'5 and a half, 6'6 in bare feet, you know, power forward, small ball center. Whereas you go back 15 years ago and people would have said, well, he's got to be a 3, you know, at his size, he's got to lose some weight and be a 3. How much has the league changed and evolved over the past couple of years?
Yeah, that's another great point. I mean, it's really amazing. And you know, I think it's been, hopefully we've adjusted to it. Like guys my age or your age, because I remember, like you brought up 03 with the LeBron draft, talking about Zion. But if you really went back then, remember, like the conventional wisdom at the time was, you know, all things being equal, go with size.
Jay, excuse me, I'm sorry. The line I was always told was, in the NBA, they said, if you're going to make a mistake, make a big mistake.
Yeah.
That's what they would say. Anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, but it's the same kind of thing. Like I think, you know, just going to the Oden thing. Like, so if you had the Oden-Durant decision to make now, no NBA front office would take Greg Oden. Nobody would.
Yeah.
But back then, you know, the game was even different 12 years ago. And so in that short a time period, we've kind of had to change mindset, change the way we look at everything. And you know, look at all the shooters that went last night. And, you know, that would never have happened 10, 12 years ago. The guys that got drafted last night in the first round would not have been drafted in the first round 10 or 12 years ago. And, you know, like, I think it took me probably way too long to wrap my head around, you know, these high school players really are better than I'm giving them credit for. And, you know, they're going to get a lot better. So if they have a couple of deficiencies here and there, you know, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. So it took me a while to, you know, kind of get the old school thinking out. I think I've been a little bit quicker to adjust to this part of it, maybe because it's just so obvious with the way the game's being played and the fact that everybody's figured out, you know, sort of the asymmetrical threat of the three-point line. And I don't know if revolutionized is the right word, but it's totally changed everything.
And that, I don't know the true definition of revolutionized, but I think you actually nailed it, right? It has revolutionized everything. It's completely changed how we look at, like, defensive rotations. I mean, this is maybe too much in the weeds, but when you and I grew up, right, not even you and I grew up, again, when I first started in this business, if you're in the corner and a guy drove on your side, you were helping and then recovering.
Yeah.
Now you never help off the strong side. Like, it's
right.
totally changed the sport. I want to ask you about R.J. Barrett because we came into the year thinking like he was going to be the guy that everybody was fighting over. There are some people that think he's a little selfish. He didn't shoot it as well as you would have hoped. On the other hand, we all know the NBA game is much more wide open. And you would think you give him the ball, you spread it out, you give him NBA caliber shooters, and he can go back to being as dominant and as much of a breakthrough player as he was in international basketball and before he entered Duke. What do you think of R.J. Barrett? What will he look like the next couple years in a Knicks uniform?
I think he's got a chance to be a great NBA player. You know, obviously in 1 year he's a great college player with all the things that he's capable of doing. You know, the one thing he doesn't do at the highest level is he's not a consistent shooter. But when he gets a standstill opportunity, you know, he shoots a good ball. It's just not a repeating, you know, over and over, you know, going in thing. And didn't shoot a great percentage from the free throw line. I think it was about 66%, if I remember right. And he was 31-32 from three. But it's not a Ben Simmons thing where he's not going to take them. He's going to take them, and he's really worked on it. So I think if he refines his mechanics, and you know this better than I do, like when guys get to the NBA and they really work on it, they become better shooters. You know, that's the one area of the game.
How do I know that?
That was my hope. Personal experience here on our games. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to talk about running and rebounding or anything. But
I wish. That was my argument. That was my argument. Like, I was a terrible shooter in college. Like, look, if I get to the pros, I'll be decent, right? Because you're totally right on it. I noticed you threw in a Vilnius and a Hunt for Red October line, yes, which is one of my favorite movies.
I always think of that whenever Vilnius, Lithuania is brought up. If for some reason that sticks out in my brain from when I saw the movie Hunt for Red October, because that's where Ramius is from.
Right.
And in the second round, I was so bored and so waiting for it to be over because it took an extraordinarily long time last night.
Yes.
The first, I don't know what it was, but the first round took forever. And in the second round, usually, we're in commercial more often, and there might be three or four picks that go by during commercials, so it seems to go by quicker. And I just couldn't help it. I threw that in because it helped me, you know, jerk around Reese Davis a little bit, the unflappable Reese Davis. So just a little bit of fun, you know, my own personal fun.
Yeah, you also had a Sound of Music line in there too. Now you're really getting kind of.
It was more Austin, but yeah, it should have been more Austin Powers because that was the first thing I thought of when I saw that suit was Hey Baby and Behave. I mean that thing was brutal.
Yeah.
You know, you could have gotten away with the jacket alone or the pants alone, but together, I can't imagine Tyler Hero is going to look back on that in 30 years and be happy with it.
No, it's going to be one of those like, well, I was just a kid from Wisconsin in New York for the first time. Like, all right, dude, but yeah,
that's got to be top 10 worst, maybe even top 5 worst ensembles, and there have been some bad ones. But
Samaki Walker's hat, right, and Jalen Rose's red suit.
Yeah, but you look back on the red suit now, and it's really not so bad. It may be a little bit funny and all that, but heck, Chauncey Billups wore the same suit last night, and then we were teasing him. They showed his draft. What did he come out in 94 or something or 97? And he looked like a banker. And then last night he was wearing a red suit. So we were guys. You had it backwards, man.
Yeah, help me out with this. So the NCAA passed a rule that. All these kids could go back to college that weren't drafted last night. The problem is that the NBA and the NBAPA deems them to be free agents. So theoretically, even if you went back to college, they could be drafted out of a college. They could be signed out of a college program in January and then join an NBA team. People have wanted to put you in charge of college basketball and college athletics in the past. I'll put you in charge of the NBA and the NBA draft. Would you be open to the idea of you don't get drafted last night, you can go back to college?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Even if you do get drafted, I think you should be able to go back. I'd be in favor of the NBA drafting players and be able to park them in college, just like they park them overseas or park them in the G League if they wanted to. You know, I don't see a problem with that. I mean, the thing that really bothers me more than anything is sort of our, you know, I'll say our and take some ownership of this, is sort of the NCAA's attitude towards players that, you know, somehow if you're not going to be Bill Bradley or Shane Battier, we don't want you at all. And we want, you know, take the players out of high school. We don't want to deal with them at all. But yet we're still going to have, like, if you come for, if you reclass and, you know, you can come in, and or if you stay for 2 years, like, what's the difference? You know, like, how many of those guys last night that got drafted ever had to take a class in a major? Probably very few of them, if any. That, you know, obviously, you know, Cam Johnson of North Carolina, who graduated and had 2 years as a graduate student. But truth is, even if you leave as a sophomore at the end of your sophomore year, you don't even have to take a class toward a major. Now, I'm not saying that's a horrible negative or they shouldn't be in college or any of that nonsense. But if we really think college is a good thing, the NCAA should be thinking of ways to provide incentives for players to go to college. And then if they're there for a year or 2 years, provide a pathway to come back, you know, because you've established, like, I think it's been good for Zion Williamson to be in college. And I'm not some Pollyanna guy. I think it's been a good thing.
Right.
And I think he's more likely to come back. He's got a relationship with the university and a university community that he can always go back there. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, the Carmelo Anthony Center at Syracuse is not a bad thing. And he was there for a year. And I have no idea whether he's gone back to you know, try to finish his schooling or anything like that. But I think we should be thinking along those lines rather than putting up stop signs and barriers for players that have the audacity to want to be professionals at some point.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think they actually have. I think the NCAA does a terrible job of promoting it to the public, right? I honestly think that's a big part of it, is that, like, now you can come back and you can actually be on the court coaching as, like, a GA on scholarship, you know, as, you know, anytime you want to come back. And I just think they do a terrible job of celebrating their success stories and of some of the things, some of the barriers that they have broken down. All right, last thing I need you to fix, the hat thing, right? Like, the greatest moment in these kids' lives is you get drafted, you put on the hat, and you shake the hands of the commissioner, right? But the problem is you get all these trades that take place, and poor Reese, like, his head is spinning. I don't know how, you know, you have no idea how to, do I talk about the player? Do I talk about, you do a great job of just, let me just tell you about the player. Forget about how he fits, because we don't know what team he's actually drafted for. But that, the picture of when he's shaking hands with Adam Silver, forever now, it's going to be a guy with a hat that DeAndre Hunter's not a Laker. He's never been a Laker. He'll never be a Laker, yet he has a Lakers hat on. How do we fix this problem?
Yeah, and he'll always have been drafted by the Lakers. That's the way it'll go down, you know, sort of in the history books. And yeah, it's really odd. I think part of it is, in order to change it, it'd have to go through the collective bargaining process with all the timing of you know, free agency and you know, things being finalized on July 6th and all that stuff. But it is frustrating, and it is confusing, because they don't have that problem when you watch the NFL draft. You know, when they draft somebody, well, okay, this guy's going to the Patriots, this guy's going to the Chargers. It was really hard just kind of taking notes last night while things were changing. They were changing, you know, during the draft. I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting probably the hour before the draft started, and you're like, well, geez, okay, all my draft order, it's got all these chicken scratches all over it, and you're going, now, wait a minute, remind me. So this guy's going to Oklahoma City? No, it's Atlanta now. And it's a mess. But they've been doing it that way for a long time. The one thing that's better, though, is that now, you know, and I'm sure social media is a big part of it, but now that you got guys like Woj reporting this stuff and they don't have to tiptoe around it, they can just report it, at least we have a better idea of it. Remember years ago, and I don't even know if it was that many years ago, you'd be sitting there on the desk talking about, well, how this guy fits, and then 10 minutes later you'd find out, well, he's not going there, and he wasn't picked to go there. So every, you know, like the NBA knew, but we didn't know. And so we wasted all this time talking about where a guy's going, and he's not going there. So I agree with you. I just don't know that there's any quick fix. It's sort of the thing where, you know, they just got to go through the rules process and figure out what the right thing to do is. Because I'm telling you, man, this whole thing of free agency now that's coming up in July, that's becoming a sport itself.
Yeah.
That's covered more than parts of the season is. And it's amazing how they've done that. It's a year-round sport now.
Well, listen, we'll see you in Southern California this summer. In the meantime, take a good respite. You've earned it. Thanks so much for being our guest.
All right, brother. See you soon.
All right, Jay Billis.